Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here is our assignment. A happy life must be to a great extent a quiet life, for it is only in an atmosphere of quiet that true joy can live. Perhaps it is so that a happy life must be to a great extent a quiet life, because it is only in the quiet of non-distraction that we can be present to the true joy that is life. Perhaps it's not so much that true joy can live only in quiet, as that without quiet, we will be too distracted to recognize the true joy that is each moment of life. To believe true joy is dependent upon circumstances, that it only exists in certain situations or environments, would be to believe the essential quality of life is limited. What we hear from those who are able to be present in all circumstances is that all that is unconditional. Today, give yourself some time in an atmosphere of quiet that assists you to experience the true joy you are seeking in all circumstances of life. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry? Well, I'm having a little problem with my computer. Hang on one second. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, this is Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Wow, first person. And, all right.
Like number so, one.
Yeah. Like so many people, I've been going through the undulations or the back and forth, whatever it is, of the egocentricities. I love that. Where I have, I've just not put myself in the queue at all. And so just yesterday I started doing it, and today I get called on, and there you have it.
God is good.
Yes. Let's see. I haven't had a chance. We start our Project Joy every noon out here in New York City. So although the assignment comes in earlier, so I could have looked at it, I guess. But in any event, I haven't thought about that. So what am I going to address? I'm just going to say I'm grateful for the, as many people have reported, and we're coming to an end, and this really has been a remarkable practice which has built and has built, and I'm looking forward to North Carolina.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yes, that's going to be the next one for me, and I'm very thankful and grateful. And I will say that the conditions in my life have been really quite up and down. And, of course, that's just par for the course.
Yes. So that's how life tends to be. Now this, now that, now this, now that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, like some people do, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, may I ask you about the this is and that's of life?
Yes.
So do you find yourself being more able to notice that sometimes this, sometimes that, and that you are more able to be present to what's going on without getting quite as caught up in the content of things?
Absolutely, yes. And it's a real slow climb or progression. I just notice it. And the point you have made repeatedly about how our getting caught and then catching ourselves and being aware of that and noticing that is the awareness itself that we're seeking.
Yes. That's, yes, exactly. That is the awareness that we are seeking, and the more tuned into it we become, the more we suspect that's the awareness that is seeking us. Right? So it's, and so it doesn't matter that you got caught, does it? You got caught, and that's what helped you recognize awareness when you were present again. So you were caught. Who cares? Now you're present. That's the point.
Yes. So that I am reaching that point of, at times, of not feeling that automatic response reflecting that ego has me do. Egocentric karma conditions of it has me want to do of saying, that's, you're a bad person. That's because look at how bad your practice is. You know, you can't even do practice correctly and so on.
And so you get to see that, you recognize it. The one of the discussions we had a while back about the voices never change. And so if we go with the voices, we think we're not changing. But that's not true. Right? And the very fact that you can see that you got caught in ego and stepped free of it, and you watch that karma to have a beating, and you say no to that beating because you recognize that disidentifying and getting here is the whole point, that's proof positive that you practice is working. You are becoming a different person. Actually, what you're becoming is what you always have been, that ego was so devoted to keeping you from realizing.
Uh-huh. Yes, right. So well put, of course. And the whole thing about it not being, you know, this learning to see the process and seeing that it's not a personal. It's not your personality. It's not something to take personally, that you're bad and self-hate and all that. So, all right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Great to hear from you. Enjoy the day.
I'll get off so that other people can get on in our waning days of Project Joy. But I know there will be other wonderful things. Like I see the Socratic coming up, another Socratic. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's not like practice is going to go away because this particular form of it ends, right? We just go on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, just like life.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini, is that computer giving you
Sherry,
trouble?
Can you hear me?
There you are.
It's a little unfamiliar to me. So how about I bring on – what I said was muted. So let me bring on the next caller and have them wax eloquent about
good.
Here we go.
All right. Thank
next
you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is June in Murphy.
Oh, hello, June.
Hi. Well, gosh, I'm having a big practice time, as I suppose if you pay close enough attention all time is. But
when we're not having a big time, we can suspect that it's because we're not here for it, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, life is big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Gosh, there's so much. I think I'll address the topic of living a quiet life. And I've been confused that because I live out here in the woods alone, I have a quiet life. The quiet has to be internal.
Yes.
You know, I go days where I do not speak out loud unless I'm recording or on a phone call. And yet, internally, there has been a subtle, I'll have to say subtle, ongoing, relentless judgment and self-hate or anything, it'll judge and hate you about anything at all. And at the New Year's retreat, you laid out very clearly in a group discussion the difference between egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen it the way you laid it out, and it has changed my life. I get it that being identified as a someone is not wrong, and it's not dangerous. It doesn't make you a bad student. It doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't. The problem is when you tack on is when self-hate then attacks for what it. I'm not going to put it that way. I'll just end it with attacks for when self-hate attacks.
Yes. So if I may just.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a person is going along being a person, right? Just doing what that person does. And they're identified with ego and they're karmically conditioned. And we could even say some part of the time what we would call unconscious, not here.
Yes.
But that is not that's not the cause of suffering that most people experience. The suffering that people experience is when self-hate attacks the person for being identified with ego.
Yes. Yes. And somewhere along, early on in practice, I decided that it was the identification that was the problem. And I lumped identity. I've been confused that the voice, when there's awareness that I've been identified arises or am identified arises, the judgment and the don't do that, don't be that, pay better attention, be a better Zen student. I've been confused that that is some sort of authentic response, and it isn't. That's the self-hate. That's the trap. That's the place that I am so grateful to be stepping free of.
Uh-huh. Yes. So let me just reflect that a little bit. So when we get and the extreme of this is what I see as one of the saddest of human experiences. When people are convinced that voice you're pointing at that says you need to pay better attention, don't do that. That's not
awareness.
That's
not awareness.
Yeah. You shouldn't be. That's the problem. If you wouldn't do that. And people actually believe that that's the voice of God telling them how to be, what to do, what not to do, that's the voice of God. And what you have realized is, no, it's the voice of self-hate, just not dripping hatred as it speaks to you. And because it doesn't have to. It's doing all of the damage that it needs to do by just saying, no, don't you need to meditate more. If you want to end the suffering, you need to meditate more. And then, of course, when you want to meditate, the same voice talks you out of meditating and then chides you for not meditating. And it's a continuum, right? There's that end of it all the way to you are the most miserable, contemptible, hideous piece of human garbage, right? Because it can go that route, too. Yeah. So that's very good. Because one more thing before I let you talk again. One more thing about that is that what it really is robbing people of is authenticity, where we're going to find that is when we're allowed to be how we are. When we're allowed to be how we are, then not allowed is not a good word, because that system is never going to allow us to do that. When we really choose to be how we are, now we're on a path to sort out where this is coming from. Is that ego? Is that authenticity? Is that will? And especially with recording and listening, we'll hear it. We'll see.
Yeah.
And there's no hate.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for this practice. I know some new and exciting things are going to happen in 2018.
We're not quitting on anything, are we? We're just going to keep looking at these same processes through different lenses until we get to that place where we can just be joyfully, presently animated by life, having the life that is ours to have. That's what we're going to keep doing.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah, good on us, huh? All right, thank you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Jim. You know, Sherry, that takes me to the thing we often say, that spiritual practice begins when the beating stops.
Yeah.
If it's only when the self-hate dissolves that we even have the possibility to don the lens of seeing with the eyes of love, like seeing ourselves with the same eyes that God sees us, that unworthiness is what blocks the ability to experience ourselves as something other than the orientation of ego. And until that self-hate is something that we don't listen to and believe, we can't actually explore life as it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this and form or any other.
Yeah. And it's
which is what spiritual practice is. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you can hear the difference in somebody's voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let me bring on our next caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. Can you hear me?
Can. Who's this?
Oh, this is Beth in Mountain View.
Well, hello, Beth. I heard you, but I didn't recognize your voice.
Yeah. Well, I am just lit up like a little Christmas tree post-season, obviously. But I just have to say amen, sisters, to that previous conversation. Because that's exactly where I was going.
Uh-huh. Say more about that, please.
Yeah, it's the quiet inside the head. It's the silence inside the head. You know, you could be out doing errands. I mean, I can be out doing errands. I could be teaching a yoga class. I could be, you know, if that voice is so rampant in my head, then that's what takes away from the joy of the moment.
Yeah. it becomes your life experience. So I was talking with somebody recently about being annoyed by interruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're doing whatever you're doing, your little Christmas tree world there, and somebody says something to you, or they call you or text you or something like that, and it's irritating, right? It's really irritating. And I shouldn't have said Christmas tree because that's not where you would be when what I'm describing is happening. Okay, forget that. Forget that.
Okay.
Forget that part. So you're going along, somebody interrupts you, and there's that irritation that comes up that I project a lot of people feel because you're interrupting me. You're disturbing me. You're disturbing my quiet. But what's actually happening is that what you're doing is pulling me out of conditioned mind and bringing me into the present.
Mm.
And conditioned mind really doesn't like that. Okay?
Mm.
What it really likes is to be in a place, an undisturbed place, so that it can constantly be setting the tone, creating the content and the circumstances that support it.
Oh, that is so good. That is spot on for me. It's that place where it's like I get convinced that I am in quiet, but what I'm really doing is listening to that that voice of telling me what's happening or what's going to happen or what did happen, and then. Coming to, that's kind of what you're saying, coming to when that interruption happened, which is actually just the interruption of conditioning.
That's right. That's right. And that's what gets irritated by it.
Right.
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 Because when we actually are attempting to come to a quiet place in our heads and something brings us, when we've gotten caught by conditioning, right, I'm meditating. All right, and then I get pulled off into something. Well, if something brings me back to the present, I'm really grateful. Okay, one, right? Thank you.
Yes.
Here we are at one, right? And
yeah.
And so we can see that process then operating throughout our lives, and it's very helpful to be grateful for everything that brings us to conscious awareness.
Yes, yes. And what just dropped in was the flip side of that. If I really am in that place of present moment, the interruption will just be life flowing.
Exactly. We would never think of it as an interruption because it's just the next moment of life manifesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And then the other piece I wanted to share was kind of I think near the end of the conversation, it's the allowing or the choosing to be with the human and feeding the human's heart.
Yes.
And really starting to learn what the difference is. So what happened was I woke up this morning, and I mean, I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night, but I'm still feeling this little bit of, you know, residual coldish kind of, yeah, bug thing. And I thought, you know, I'm just gonna stay in bed this morning. Like, I'm gonna have breakfast in bed, and I'm gonna do work in bed, and I'm just gonna, you know, really kind of lay low. And conditioning would have me think that I was gonna start up an opioid addiction. and it's like
you're just never gonna get out of bed.
Right,
that's it.
Right.
You just will never again get out of bed.
Right, right. And really hearing, you know, the human just saying, you know, gosh, that does sound really comforting and nice. And you know, I do have plans this afternoon, so I am, you know, going to get out of bed. But yes, exactly. There is that, the conditioning would throw out that fear of, you know, well, if you do that, there is just no stopping where this is going
to
lead up.
Straight to hell.
Yeah.
Straight to hell. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, that point that is so essential. If a person, say you, talk this whole thing out with the recorder, it, when you listen back to it, it is so crystal clear what is on the, what is an authentic expression, what is on the side of authenticity, what is a voice of ego, and what is supporting the voice of ego. It can be subtle, and we still won't be confused because they are, they have a completely different tone.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I would say wholeheartedly that the only way I could get to spending the morning in bed was because over this past 6 weeks, due to other content, I mean, the recorder and I have rarely left each other's company. Let's just say it that way. There has just been a lot of, you know, even if it's just driving the car and just listening, or you know, having earbuds in for the grocery store, or first thing I wake up in the morning, turn it on. I don't even care where it is in the sequence of recordings. It's just like, I just want to be with Beth. Like, I really, like, that is the most important thing for me right now.
Yes. And as Beth pointed out for us the other day, as you listen to anything, any recording you made, if you're just talking about what you're going to buy at the grocery store, you're going to have insights. You're going to see things that you have missed all of your life. It sounds ridiculous. I can hear that it would sound ridiculous to anybody who hasn't had the experience, but as soon as you have the experience, you realize all of the, in quotes, truth, the clarity that we're seeking is in a conversation. We're going to hear it and see it in a conversation with life. And that's what's going on when a human being is in conversation with that human being.
That is my experience. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So well, thank you, and Ashwini, and the monks, and Sangha, and Project Joy, and I am excited for 2018.
Me too. Thank you, Beth. Enjoy.
Bye. Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Beth. It does seem to be the bottom line of it all, right, Cherry? Can we get to a place where we can enjoy life?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Be in life, enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, Cherry. So here is our assignment.
All right.
Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. As we've proved to ourselves through practice, our lives happen in a conversation. Will that always be true? Perhaps. Perhaps not. What we know is that for now, that is the case for most, if not all, conditioned human beings. A conversation-conditioned mind determines how we feel, and how we feel determines our experience. Is this a requirement? No, but that is how it works. Thus, if the conversation one is listening to is ego talking to ego, the negative twaddle about what's wrong and what's missing, one feels down, depressed, uninspired, and yes, a lack of enthusiasm. This is where egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate thrives. And as the quote points out, it's where nothing great is ever achieved, except by ego. Ego gets to have the life force of a human being who doesn't get a chance to see how great they are or how great life is. Today, pick up the recorder often and get into a conversation with life. Let the mentor assist you to see how great your life is and feel the enthusiasm that is yours to enjoy.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Good plan. Right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everybody, and we'll see everyone on Monday.
Go happy.
Go happy.